Turn your Bibles, Will, to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, along the line in the thought of considering these two words, little words in the scripture, I am. We preached a couple of messages based on those words about how the Lord told Moses, I am that I am. Tell the children of Israel that I am hath sent thee. And the weight of those words, two little words. We took a look also about the Lord Jesus and what he said, I am come. I am come. And we want to wrap up our consideration of these two words, I am, in the Old Testament. And looking forward to other messages to come regarding them. But it's just really great. I find it difficult to convey to you, and I hope that the Lord's got to do that indeed. But the way the Lord has burdened me with this consideration and the greatness of it, you know, we looked at just looking there in these words, I am, in the Hebrew and the use of that. The Lord is the great self-existent one. And anything that he causes to begin to exist, he's the only one that's existed forever. But any time that the Lord has done something or created something, caused something to change or to move or to be, it is his signature, it's his stamp upon it that he is God. Okay, and so understand that when the scripture says that something was, or it was so, or the word were, it's connected to I am, because it is so, it's able to be. There's the ability for their life to be, and the Lord creating life, and for his people, for Adam to be created, and his wife Eve to be created. That's the stamp of God. We're here because of God having done something. And he's existed forever. He is the great I am. And we are benefactors of that because he is, we are able to be. And we exist. And just trying to, I hope I am able to convey that to you. And the Lord will help and bless in it. This morning, we want to take a look at this. And this is a constant repetition of this through the Old Testament scriptures. We just want to take a look at it this morning. And I think what it's all about, what the Lord is doing here in the scripture and emphasizing this, is that we need to get it. We need to get this about the I am, okay? The great I am. In Genesis chapter 15, the Lord here dealing with Abram, he says to him in this dialogue that he has with him, and the Lord talking to him, the Lord chose Abraham, and that's just as the brother read this morning, no man can receive anything except be given to him from heaven. That's the way that it is. It's the way it was with Abram. And here in verse number 7 of Genesis 15, here at the patriarch that the Lord chose of his nation, what would become his nation, he says, and he said unto him, unto Abram, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. He says to him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And in our King James translation here, the translators emphasize this about this name, Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's speaking of Jehovah God, the Lord. The way I understand it, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he's one Lord, and this is everything about God. I am the Lord. Not a Lord, but the Lord. And he says that here to Abraham. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father, that you'd help us this morning with it. Lord, help us to see more that you are the Lord, the Lord. And Lord, that we'd hear you and believe you and trust you in that. Know that it's so. Lord, that we'd not fail or waver to know that that is the case. And Lord, that you are our great God and creator. You are our master and king. And Lord, may everyone in the house, Lord, may we in heart and body and soul submit to you that you are God, you are the Lord, and there is none other. Help us, Father, we'd hear you and obey you and believe you in what you say. And Lord, for those that are here and not saved, we pray that you'd stir them and touch them. Lord, save them, make them their own, your own as you only can. Lord, show them Jesus, reveal unto them Jesus, Father. And Lord, that he's the one you sent to be a savior for sinners. And Lord, pray that you would just work and save their souls as you only can. Help now, we pray, and bless as we survey your word and take a look at how you have said this to us, that you are the Lord. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Abram, this man whom he would rename Abraham, he is his man, called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He goes to Haran for a while until his father dies. And then in time, the Lord appears to him here and tells him about what he's going to do for him. He says in verse number one, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The Lord told that to the tribe of Levi, said, you're not going to have an inheritance. You're not going to have a land because I'm going to be your inheritance. And you know, the Lord is just that. We talk about heaven and we talk about the new heaven and the new earth and how it's going to be so great and so grand. But the reason it's going to be is because the Lord is there. He is the Lord. There's no greater thing than having fellowship with our great God and creator and savior, the Lord. There's no greater thing. And the Lord has visited Abraham here. In Genesis chapter 28, you know the account. And we're following down through that of the life of the nation of Israel. That's where this is being uttered. And how it is in Genesis chapter 28, Israel, Jacob, he visits him. And he also, as he did Isaac. But here in Genesis chapter 28, we see here in verse number 13, let's read. Jacob and this ladder that set upon the earth and it reached to heaven and the angels of God descending, ascending, and descending. In verse number 13, the Lord says to Jacob, and behold, the Lord stood above it, the ladder, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Because he says, I am the Lord, Jacob, and I'm going to do this. And you need to know this. I am the Lord thy God. I'm your daddy's God, and I'm your grandfather's God, and I am the Lord. I am the Lord. He goes on to say here in verse number 15, as we read, let's read it. And behold, I am with thee, verse number 15, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now, there's no replacement of Israel, is there? There's not. We live in the church age, indeed, and it's the time of the Gentiles and the time of the Lord's church. But the Lord, this hasn't been fulfilled. But the Lord is going to fulfill it, and he's going to fill it in Christ because he is the Lord. I am the Lord. May we gain the emphasis and understand the emphasis that is there. In Exodus chapter 6, the children of Israel go down into Egypt. Jacob goes down into Egypt, and the children of Israel are multiplied there, and they become the bondservants of the Egyptians. And we see here in the book of Exodus, the Lord going to deliver his people. And we've already taken a look about how he appeared to Moses. In Exodus chapter 6, In Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 1, we read, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him," notice how this is placed and notice where how this is, "I am the Lord." Said, I've said this and you need to know it and believe that it's so. And they need to know it and believe that it's so because I am the Lord. The Lord's saying in that, he said, "I am the Lord. I'm the king. I'm the ruler. I'm the creator. I am over everything. And I've spoken this. It's going to come to pass. Know that it's so. I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." So now the Lord has even iterated that and told that unto Moses, that he is Jehovah God, the eternal one, the great self-existent one, the Lord over all. He is the Lord. He is the Lord, and he would do this thing. In chapter 6, we go on to read in verse number 6, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord." See, he told him to say that to them. "I am the Lord." He said, "I am the Lord," that they may know it and that they may hear it. "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." He goes on in verse 7, "And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." See how over and over and over again, Thomas, listen. Your granddaddy wants you to listen. He says here, "I am the Lord." And he's saying it over and over again. Verse 2, verse 6. He goes on to say here in verse number 8, "And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." See, over and over he says it. And why? Understand who's talking to you. Understand who's doing this. I am the Lord. He's saying, and isn't it something how that's the case? It goes on in this chapter in verse number 29, verse 28. "And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses saying, I am the Lord." Isn't it so easy? I'm guilty of it. It happens. We read over the scripture and we see what's in there and we hear it and we read it. But in that, how we miss it. In this chapter, the Lord has just said over and over and over again, "I am the Lord. I am the Lord." He says here that the Lord, verse 29, "that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken unto me?" It won't be Moses that he'll hear or see when his attention is God, as we know in the scripture. Who was it that got the Pharaoh's attention? Was it Moses? No, it was the Lord, because he is the Lord. He tells that on in this book in chapter 29. Let's take a look here. The Lord said that he would do this in Egypt and that they would know some things and that Pharaoh would know some things. In chapter 29 of Exodus, he speaks this to the children of Israel, and he says, verse 45 of Exodus 29, "And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God." How will they know that? Because of what he's done that has never been done for any other people, any other nation, any other tribe ever before. One nation obviously and openly and apparently destroyed for the sake of another by 10 plagues. that God said would come to pass and that they did come to pass. Every one. Incredible things, incredible miracles that were wrought for the salvation and deliverance of his nation. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, verse 46, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. He says it again, I am the Lord their God. And that's, he says it over and over and over again. Why? Because they need to get it. They need to be reminded of it. When they're consumed with living life and the burdens that they will bear and the hardship that they will bear and the things that they'll face out in the wilderness, out in the desert, and the wilderness that they'll go, and the coming of the Egyptians, they need to know, I am the Lord. We need to know that, don't we? I am the Lord. The Lord says unto us, I am the Lord. Well, Brother Jim, what are you getting at? When we have a need, when we have trouble, when we have difficulty, when we have rejoicing, it all needs to be directed towards our Lord. Don't think that you can ever walk in this life by yourself. You and I can't. He's the Lord. And we need to worship him and honor him by going to him with everything in life. Thanking him, praising him, petitioning him for need and for help. In every respect, he says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. So many times we can, in the independence of the pride of life, I believe that that's what Brother John is talking about in there, that we're created in the image and likeness of God, and we're so seemingly so self-sufficient, we think that we can handle things on our own. And we think that because we're who we are and so great and so able, and the Lord has made us able, it's part of what he's done, that we just don't need the Lord. I've heard that in my own speaking. I've heard that in other of the children of God said, I'm just trying to do the best I can about what I'm trying to do. Well, quit doing that and go to the Lord with it. Have you gone to the Lord with it? Well, if the answer is no, need to know that the Lord says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. In Exodus chapter 31, this last time the Lord says that in this book, and it says in verse number 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. I've set you apart. Keeping the Lord's day. We don't keep the last day of the week, Saturday. We keep the first day of the week because we live in this time after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, after his crucifixion. But taking that one day of the week, one out of seven, and honoring the Lord with it is an acknowledgement that God is the Lord. That the Lord says, I am the Lord. And we say, yes, that's true. That's right. And he told that and gave that here to the children of Israel. 18 times the Lord says this, and it's reiterated. And Moses is told to tell it to the children of Israel in the book of Exodus, I am the Lord. And then we go to the book of Leviticus. As the Lord gives the law unto his nation, he gives them the oracle of God and the law, as he gives them ceremonial and sacrificial laws, he gives them and iterates for them several things regarding the moral law. As he gives them the law, again, he puts this punch in here, I am the Lord. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse number 45, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. He gave them a standard. He gives us a standard. The Lord is holy. Peter reiterates that in the New Testament. The Lord is holy, and we as people are to be holy. Don't be ashamed of pursuing to be holy. The world will hang that on you if you'll let them, that it's just old fogish, and that it's square, and that it's weird, and that it's just so uncool to look to be holy and obedient to the Lord. The Lord says he's holy. I am the Lord. We need to be holy. And he told them as much. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 2, the Lord says here, as he's giving them the law, he says in Leviticus 18, let's read verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. You see that? You see how the Lord's saying, Moses, tell this to the children of Israel. Repeat this to the children of Israel. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. And then in the division that we have of our scripture, the rest of this chapter, 30 verses, or 29 more verses, 28 more verses of content is delivered unto them. And understand the scripture wasn't that way in that day. The law wasn't written in that way that day. But he says, I am the Lord. Listen. Listen to what I'm saying. Hear what I've got to say. I am Jehovah God. In this same chapter, it goes on down here in verse number 4. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord. Obey me. Keep what I tell you, because I am the Lord overall, and I have made a difference in you. In the book of Leviticus, it seems like in book of Exodus, this is mentioned, these words, I am the Lord, 18 times. We get to the book of Leviticus as the Lord's given the law, 45 times the Lord states, I am the Lord. Not beside I am God and other combinations of that or other places where the Lord would say, I am. But 45 times with the law, with the instruction, with the moral law, the sacrificial ceremonial law for the Jews, the Lord says, I am the Lord. Listen to what I'm saying. Obey me. Follow me. I am the Lord. And then we come to the book of Numbers, the accounts of their travels in the wilderness. And in Numbers chapter 15, you can turn there if you want, I'll read it to you. Numbers 15, 41, the Lord reminds them, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. In the same verse, he ends this verse, I am the Lord your God. He starts it that way, I am the Lord your God. And then he says, I've brought you out of Egypt. And he ends up the verse, I am the Lord your God. He's serious about it, isn't he? And he's reminding them and telling them that they might get it. Oh, the world and the way of the world and man is so against the Lord. And we follow after that. We follow after this old flesh and heart and mind. And we'll forget that he is the Lord. You know what? We'll start thinking that we're the Lord. Right? That's the truth. But we need to remember that God is the Lord. I am the Lord. Well, and do the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses preaches to the children of Israel, he preaches these last messages before the Lord takes him on to be with him. He reminds them about what the Lord said as he preaches to them. That's what this book of Deuteronomy is, as Moses messages, two or three messages, his last messages to Israel that he preaches unto them. And in chapter 5 of the book of Deuteronomy, we read in verse number 6. In chapter 5, verse number 6, he says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Moses reminds him. And then towards the end of this book, in Deuteronomy chapter 29, here towards the end of the book, Moses says these things and telling and preaching to them of the thing the Lord commanded them and the Lord worked in them. Verse number 5 of Deuteronomy 29. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness, Moses says. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. The blessings of God, what God has done in leading them and providing for them. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came into this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us into battle, and we smote them, took their land, just like the Lord said, because he is the Lord. I am the Lord. Our brother reminded them of it. And then in the time of the judges, when Israel... The judges, if you will, of Moses and Joshua have passed, and there's a time of up and down in Israel, up and down and up and down. If they would listen to the hearken to the voice of the Lord, there was blessing. If they disobeyed the Lord and went after other wicked ways, then there was oppression by their enemies, just like the Lord had said. He said it from the beginning, didn't he? In the blessing that the Lord gave and the blessing that Moses reiterated with the children of Israel, he said, the blessing will be, you won't be able to receive the blessing, but you go against me. And what I sought to do to these nations that are in Canaan and what I sought to do to them in driving them out and dispossessing them to give you the land, I'll do that to you and worse. And they experienced it during that time of the judges, didn't they? But in Judges chapter 6, verse number 10, Judges 6, verse number 10, let's back up and get the full sentence here. Verse number 7, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus shall the Lord God of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppress you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. It's a rehearsal of 250 years plus whatever time in the judges that they've got to hear, maybe a rehearsal of 300 and some years. And I said unto you, verse 10, I am the Lord your God. They forgot it though, didn't they? As many times as they had been told, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord your God. Hear what I've got to say. Obey me. Hear me. Believe me. Again, I've said it a lot here lately. Doesn't it always go back to what the Lord said? Isn't that where it starts? What the Lord has said is what he means and what he intends to go. What he says. It's the same thing. It's the same always. Verse 10, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye would dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. They didn't believe that he is the Lord. Even to a wayward king Ahab, their king of Israel, in 1 Kings chapter 20, the word of the Lord comes. Ahab is surrounded, I believe, by the Syrians and going to be, they've got him outnumbered. And he's a wicked king and a king of the northern tribes. In 1 Kings chapter 20, verse number 13, and behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, that thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Ahab didn't deserve anything from God. You know it? He was wicked, perverse, married that old Jezebel. Her daddy was the king of a wicked kingdom, and he shouldn't even have been messing with that family. There's a king in Judah did the same thing, and it messed up his family too. You know, you need to watch out who you have to do with. Young people, you need to follow after who the Lord says to follow after. If who you look to ultimately be wedded to or married to and seeking a spouse needs to line up with what the Lord says, or you're lining up for misery. You're lining up for disobedience against God, and it'll be misery. I'm telling you the truth. God says it. It's the way that it is. That king down there in Judah, he thought he could go up there and mess around with Ahab and his family. And you know what? He lost some of his children to it. He did. He, if I'm remembering right, he even lost his grandchildren to it. And that's an account for another time. But here, he tells Ahab, even though you're wicked, yet you are king, and you see, and because Ahab was in great despair, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take these thousands that are up against you, and I'm going to deliver them into your hand today that you might know that I'm God. And you know what happened? Just that. And 1 Kings 20, verse number 28, later in the chapter, it says, and there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude in thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know what happened? Oh, they licked them, and they licked them with a small group, and they licked them bad, and they licked them and beat them a long way. They did. Because he's the Lord. If he says it, it goes. Don't we need to line up? Don't we need to submit? Don't we need to believe and hear one, the one that says, I am the Lord? We do. In a wayward kingdom of Judah, the prophet Isaiah, over and over and over again, preaches and is an example and witness to Judah. Judah, the Lord said, that watched Israel just go down the tubes because of her disobedience. She didn't change her ways either. And the Lord sent Isaiah, certainly a notable prophet, unto them. In Isaiah 42, verse number 8, the scripture says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. I am the Lord. And Isaiah preaches that. And in chapter 43, you can continue on there. And verse number 15, he says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I am the Lord. The message hasn't changed, has it? Turn. Hear me. Obey me. I am the Lord. I am the Supreme. There's no one else to reckon with. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. He goes on and says in chapter 45, verse number 5, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, from the west and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. I find it interesting, these verses where the Lord says it at the beginning and says it at the end. Why? Because they and we need to get it. He is the Lord. In Isaiah 48, 17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. You know what that implies? The other way is a way we shouldn't go. And without the help and touch of the Lord, there will be no prosperity. There will be no help. There will be indeed no eternal blessing. In chapter 49, in verse 23, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed. Listen, that wait on me. You wait on the Lord. Well, that word wait is not talking about necessarily just waiting for God to show up, but it's talking about trusting Him, looking to Him, knowing that what He says is true, knowing that He never lies. And you and I line up with the Lord and line up with His truth, and we honor Him and reverence Him and follow Him and serve Him and believe Him and trust Him. You that are here and not saved, you, as the Lord says, repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a command of God. And you say, yes, God is right, and I am wrong, and I am looking to and following Him. You're waiting on the Lord, and there's a blessing in that. There's an eternal blessing in that indeed. There's no shame in it. There's no confusion in it. There's no quarrel or lack of peace in it. There's help and blessing from the Lord. And Isaiah 51 verse 15, he says, but I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared, the Lord of hosts is His name. A disobedient kingdom, a wayward kingdom of Judah, and the prophet Isaiah. Jeremiah was also sent to Judah, wasn't he? And there are passages that the scripture bears out that the Lord said the same thing. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 24, but let him that glory, I love this passage, let him that glory, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Oh, what a blessing to know the Lord, to be known of the Lord, to have some understanding of God's big picture, the way He looks at things, what He tells and what is the truth. Let him that glory, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Not someone that's taking the opinion and saying, why does God let that happen? And why didn't God do something about that? And God should do this and God should do that. But no, rather one that'll say, Lord, you're doing what you want to and everything you do is great. Lord, you're holy and mighty and just. And Lord, I'm the sinner. I'm the wicked one, and you've been pleased to touch me and save me, send your son for me, and show me glorious things out of your word. Lord, you are the Lord, just as you say, I am the Lord. Not one that would quarrel with the Lord, but one that would agree and understand that what he says is the truth. Jeremiah 24, verse 7. He said, the scripture says, and I will give them a heart to know me. Oh, a heart to know the Lord. I want to know the Lord more, don't you? I want to be closer and walk closer to the Lord, don't you? Do we want to walk as far away from the Lord as we can, but still be connected to Him, still be in touch? We want to walk close to the Lord. I want to walk close to the Lord, don't you? I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Blessed things that the Lord will do for Israel. In Jeremiah 32, 27, the scripture says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Listen, is there anything too hard for me? He can take Israel and turn her back, can't he? He can take an old wicked sinner like Jim Duke and save him. He can take a wicked sinner like you and save you. He can take you, wayward child of God, and he can take you and he can cleanse you and bring you back to fellowship with him. He can do it. He says, I am the Lord. Ezekiel. Oh, Ezekiel. Ezekiel is full. Again, sent to a wayward nation that is captive in Ur of the Chaldees, taken captive by the Babylonians. In Ezekiel chapter 6 and verse number 10, and they shall know that I am the Lord. The Lord didn't quit, did he? It's the same message. I am the Lord. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. He said, I told you I would do this. If you went away from me, if you begin to deny me that I am the Lord and deny what I say and go against what I say and go against the commands and the way that I gave you, you go against me, I'll do this to you and worse. And it's happened. But you know what? The Lord didn't give up on him, even in Ur of the Chaldees, did he? He still sent a prophet to him, didn't he? In Ezekiel. And I want you to note something here. I'm going to tell you. Let's read a few more. It says in verse number 10 of that same chapter 6, "And they shall know that I am the Lord, that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them." Verse number 13, "Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols round about their altars upon every high hill, and in all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to their idols." He'll say, you'll know that I'm the Lord then. "So will I stretch," verse 14, "so will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblath." Now, we don't understand what that means, but evidently it was pretty desolate going that way. "In all their habitations," why? "And they shall know that I am the Lord." In Ezekiel 35, verse 4, "I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord." Chapter 35, verse 9, "And I will make thee perpetual desolations, and thy cities shall not return, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." You know why all of Palestine without irrigation is just a dust bowl? Because of this. It used to be a land that flowed with milk and honey. That's how the Lord described it, wasn't it? And it is much of it, most of it is a desert if it wasn't for the irrigation. But you know, the Lord's blessing upon Israel, he's given them irrigation. And man, when they grow stuff there now, it's great. Wonder what's going to happen when the Lord Jesus shows up. Amen. The one that says, "I am the Lord." Wow. Wow. In Ezekiel 39:22, "So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward," what he will do for them. In verse 28 of that same chapter 39, "Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them into their own land and have left none of them any more there. I am the Lord." You know, in this book of Ezekiel, you know how many times those words show up? There it is. This is indeed the book of Ezekiel is a book of rebuke. They have sinned against God. They are found in the condemnation, if you will, of their sin. They're found there captive. You know how many times these words, "I am the Lord," come through in the book of Ezekiel? 67 times. More than any other book. That these words are used. Because why? What's the help for them there in the Ur of the Chaldees? What's the help for the captive? To know that the Lord is the Lord. Hear that? To know and believe that when the Lord says, "I am the Lord," it is true. And that it's pertinent to you. It pertains to you. That you need to submit to him. He is the King. He's the Lord. In every way, creator, life giver, salvation, provider, eternity. He's the Lord. He is the Lord. And the minor prophets too. In Hosea 13:4, "Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me." In Joel chapter 3, verse 17, "So shall ye know that I am the Lord, your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore," and what the Lord will do. And in Zechariah chapter 10, verse number 6, "And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph," speaking of Ephraim, "and I will bring them again to a place, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off." Isn't that something? The Lord is going to take it. It kind of like it is with us and that parallel of being saved. When the Lord saves us, he remembers our sin no more. Okay? as it's standing against us in regards to eternal judgment. And you know, when the Lord redeems Israel and brings her, it'll be as if they had never gone away. Won't that be something? You know, you and I can't, it's hard for us in this old flesh to do that. It's hard for us, we need the help and blessing of the Lord to get over the past, don't we? But with the Lord, He'll say it'll be as if they had never gone away. Isn't that something? How would it be? It'll be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And then we wrap up the book. We wrap up the last book of the Old Testament. I find this interesting, and wrap up the Old Testament itself with this. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. It's just really struck me how this is, that here in the end of this Old Testament, this dealing of the Lord with Abraham and Jacob and that with Moses to the children of Israel and their time as a kingdom and then their rebellion and their captivity and the promises of the Lord to them. And we end up here in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6, where the Lord says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." The one that says, "I am the Lord," he's faithful to what he says, isn't he? He's not flighty. He's not fickle like we can be and are. But what the Lord says stands, because He's the Lord. And He said He's going to make a multitude out of Abraham, and He was going to bless Jacob as a nation and his sons that came forth, and He set His love on those men, He set His love on that nation, and He's going to bring them to Himself. They rebelled against Him in the desert. They rebelled against Him after they landed in the land of Canaan. They rebelled against Him when they had no king. They rebelled against Him when they had a king. And He would have been deserving to destroy them. He would have been deserving to destroy you and me. But according to His great and eternal plan, He's going to bring His nation to salvation. He's going to bring His people to salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ came as sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ came as Savior for sinners that see their need and to see indeed that He is the Lord. "I am the Lord," the Lord says. In closing, a few verses. The Scripture says in Deuteronomy 10:17, "For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward," Moses preached. In Psalm 136, verse 3, the psalmist declares, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever." Amen, that is so. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 15, the apostle writes to Brother Timothy, "Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." Who's he talking about? Jesus. Jesus, who is Lord of lords and King of kings. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, "These shall make war with the Lamb," talking about the inhabitants of the earth, and "the Lamb shall overcome them because," or "for, He is Lord of lords." He's always said and told it true, "I am the Lord. There's no other gods beside me. There's no other Lord above me. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful." Why? Because they know, they believe, they submit that He is the Lord. In Revelation 19:16, when the Lord Jesus shall deliver Israel, riding on that white horse, the scripture says, and he hath on his vesture, that means what he's wearing, and on his thigh, somehow down here on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am the Lord, thus saith the Lord.